This week's episode is sponsored by Spaces. Spaces is a new platform backed by 15 plus years of educator feedback designed to document the process and progress behind student learning in your classroom. Join the Spaces community to connect with educators across North America and gain access to free teacher-created resources, help educators who are just starting out on their journey, and learn new things from teachers who have been there before. So visit community.spacesedu.com today.
Is this the teacher hotline?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Teacher Hotline. My name is Ronald Hay, where we try to answer some of the most pressing questions for teachers in and outside of the classroom. Today, we have Jen from the Greater Essex County District School Board. Jen, what can we do for you today?
Hey, Ron. I really liked your episode in season one about what makes a great associate teacher. I'm actually taking on a student teacher now as we speak. I loved some of the points your associate teacher made on that episode. If possible, I'd love to hear from some current student teachers and hear what qualities and traits they look for in an associate teacher. I just want to make sure my student teacher gets the experience they're looking for. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jen. That is a great question, and timing could not be any better. I'm actually taking on a student teacher myself this term, and I'd love to know what they are looking for as well. We all know that the practicum is the best part of any teacher education program, and there's a lot riding on the associate teacher in delivering the best experience possible for their student teachers. So today, I bring in my student teacher, Matthew Colalillo, or as the kids in my classroom know him as Mr. C. Matt is a student at Niagara University in Buffalo. He has his teachables in business and math. And before starting his journey to becoming an educator, Matt spent 2.5 years at CIBC working as a financial advisor and 3 years at TD Bank in the same role. He graduated from Guelph University with a degree in business and now is looking to share his knowledge of the business world with my grade 11 and 12 accounting classroom. So Matt, welcome to the podcast and welcome to my class.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is awesome, honestly. Got to say, it's quite the difference between the previous career path and here. It's definitely a different environment, different feeling, different everything, really. But you know what? It's been going so great so far, and I'm loving every second of it.
Of course. Well, let me tell you, all the kids in the grade 11 and 12 classroom, they're all already falling in love with you. So whatever you're doing, keep on doing it, man. Because
you got to do it. Absolutely.
You got the energy, you got the personality, and you got the persona for it, man. So you're already on the right path.
Thank you. Means a lot.
So today, really, the episode is for teachers like me and other teachers out there that are doing this for the first time. And I think I've told you this offline that this is a totally brand new experience for me to train a student teacher. And I've been so used to training students and teenagers my entire life that, you know, I have to realize and recognize that I don't have all the answers when it comes to training adults, which is really what the conversation today is going to be about, for not just for me, but for all the other teachers listening out there doing this for the first time. So my first question is, you know, before we even jump into the caller's question, you know, I have to know why did you apply to Niagara University in Buffalo? Like there's so many amazing Canadian education programs. So why the States?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So you know what, honestly, a great question. And in truth, I get asked this a lot. Because again, Canada's got a lot of good like schools, you know, there's York, Laurier, and to be honest with you, those were the first few schools that I looked at. And to be honest with you, the reason why I selected Niagara, it just was a matter of timing. So if there's one thing about Niagara is that they accept on what we call like a rolling basis. I'm sure you're familiar with that, obviously, right? So, you know, with Laurier, York, there's a couple of the schools that are escaping me for this moment in time that I was looking at. Only between September and December did they open up that that application window for the schooling program. Plus, I looked into some of the requirements for what they needed. And it was very, very like admin oriented. They wanted like letters of recommendation. They wanted a certain amount of hours within, you know, like volunteering within the, like, I guess like the age range that I was looking to apply for. Cause ideally I wanted to teach high school, which is what I'm pursuing now at Niagara. And the fortunate thing is like, I have a very well-connected family, a lot of people in the teaching business, so sort of thing like that just sort of point me in the right direction. And what they said was, is that if you look into schools like the US, and I had a couple aunts of mine actually went to DuVille, which is the like adjacent school in Buffalo State to where Niagara University is. And they said, why don't you look in the US? It's a whole different application process there. Two of my cousins just completed the program in Niagara. And they had nothing but raving reviews about it. And they said they accept on a rolling basis. So I took a break from my previous career in March of 2021 and was looking just to sort of start that process right away. So having Niagara accept on a rolling basis so I can start almost immediately, or like as soon as like the next window of opportunity opened up, was pretty much the reason why I selected it. And there was a lot less of a headache in the process of actually getting into the school there. And like I said, it's not to shed a poor light on the Canadian schools whatsoever. You know, my other half's a teacher that graduated from York, and she's a fantastic teacher in her own right, has a lot of good things to say about that program. But the requirements were a little bit over the top, I would say. But in comparison there too, to Niagara. So that was the primary reason why I went there, just something more immediate. And it's a master's degree as well, because Teachers College in Canada is primarily a bachelor's degree. This is the next step to it. And again, I already have a bachelor's degree, so my natural next step would have been master's.
Well, we jump straight into what the caller is asking is, you know, what qualities and traits are student teachers looking for when they're paired up with an associate teacher? And like I said right up front, this is my first time doing this. This is your first time doing this. This is your first teaching practicum. So what are some things that you hope for? And let's just be honest here. Like, what are things that you want from me to help you succeed and have the best possible experience?
Absolutely. And you know, it's something that I'm asking myself a lot. The first and foremost is having that good connection with the associate teacher. Right, you want to be paired up with somebody that thinks similar to you, that acts a certain way to you. And from what I picked up and how you sort of like you own the class in a sense, right? Everyone's eyes are on you. You're bringing out. They know when to focus. They know when to laugh. They know what to expect. And when you arrange, you know, that partnership in that way, that like someone can see themselves in their associate teacher, and then that associate just sees himself in that particular candidate. I think you want that as a, you know, as the basis for like a good relationship there. And honestly, like I love the energy that you bring. I love how the class response to you. Like you're just yourself up there. You know what I mean? And having that sense of ingenuity and just complete honesty, right? Like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, especially in my case, I don't have any experience like teaching outside of like the few lessons that I've done for you so far. You know, like that blunt honesty, just be like, hey, look, this is working, this is not. You know, just having that open, like no sugarcoating, of course, right? Like you want to have that fluid relationship that's nice and relaxed, and you know you're there to challenge, you're there to challenge somebody as well, and but also let them express themselves in their own ways though, because every teacher is going to be a little bit different. There's going to be a lot of traits that we share, and you know, from our time together, like I can absolutely see, like you have the humor, I like to bring out the humor, even though it's a little bit of a different style. I make all the self-deprecating jokes. That's what works for me. But you know what, just bringing in that fun environment and just realizing like, look, it's not about the content, it's about the students and like having the good, you know, interactions with them and with each other. And I think ultimately that's what you want. Just like, you know, it's a nice challenging environment for both people. And just making it a good experience. That's what it's about.
You talked about one thing that came up in one of our previous episodes about training student teachers, which is giving feedback. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge part of my role in making your experience better and also turning you and giving you some feedback in terms of how to become a better teacher. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
Because I know every student teacher is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So how do you prefer to receive feedback? How should I approach you when it comes to giving feedback? You kind of used a couple words earlier about being blunt and kind of not sugarcoating it. Mm-hmm. But I know sometimes, you know, people say that and it can be hard to be blunt. 100%. It can be hard to not sugarcoat, right?
Absolutely.
You know, you say that to a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, and, you know, they kind of nod their head, but you're like, oh, I think I just crushed their ego. And I feel like adults sometimes too, when I receive feedbacks, it's like, I prefer to be, you know, be gentle on me.
You know, for sure.
So tell me, how do you prefer me to kind of approach you? Do you want the honest truth, no sugarcoating? Is that honest?
Yeah, no, 100%. Because again, you know, like there's no learning experience where you're not told where the opportunities of growth are, right? So if you were just up there, yeah, you know what, Matt, honestly, you did a good job. Like, you know, and you seem like, if you seem dejected from, you know, like that, what I was doing there. Cause I think in the feedback that you've given me so far, was just areas that you think I could improve on to become a better teacher altogether, right? You have the experience, I don't. So it's anything that you can share that you've seen yourself that you, or you think that, hey, yeah, right? If we approach it X, Y, and Z to get, you know, to get you into a better position or more confident, and you're more, I guess, you own the room a little bit better and you become an overall better teacher, then that's the way you got to go. You know, I'm a big believer in, you know, you got stressing the, like a lot of the positives, because again, people can get caught up into the negatives, right? Like it's not, it's actually human nature for us to focus on all of our shortcomings, that you don't celebrate those small wins in a sense. And for me, you know, that's actually one of the things that I seem to fall short on sometimes, is that I don't give myself enough credit for the strides that I've made. Everyone sees where they are right now, and then they all they do is look forward to where they want to be, right? There's a huge gap between here and there, and that's going to take time to get there, right? But every little, you know, success that you have along the way, like you have to celebrate that, because that's going to keep you moving forward, right? And as a new teacher into this, like I can only go by what I think I like went well. Naturally, I'm a very self-reflective individual. I always like to make myself better than I was the day before. So just try to find some areas to improve on, like each and every day. And, you know, sharing those good things, say, hey, Matt, I love what you did with this. You know, I like when you did that. You know, especially when you did X, you did this, or, you know, you approached it this way, you didn't leave a student behind. I think there was an example where in class there, one of the students wasn't getting like the calculations and everything like that. So I just stopped my progress, and I made sure that she was, you know, he or she was able to, you know, to follow along. And one of the things you pointed out was like, you never left anyone behind. And that's a big thing about me, because I don't like, I've been in that position where, you know, lessons keep moving forward, and, you know, I'm sitting there like,
I don't know what's going on.
What's going on? Yeah. And I don't want that. Right. So, even in the areas of like, you know, finding glue words, as we were saying, and I'm pretty sure I've used them a little bit so far right now.
It happens.
I know.
The great thing about glue words is we can edit them out in the podcast. So don't worry about that. Use them as much as you want.
Yeah, I hear you. And you know what? It's just like looking at those areas of like, hey, you know what? I think this is what you should do to make yourself a better teacher. Especially independent, no matter how you phrase it, if it's just, even if it's like, you know what, it's not good. And you're like, hey, Matt, you know what, like that, you got to completely cut out. That's not what you should be doing. That's also okay too, but it's mixing in a lot of the good with the bad, because again, you don't want to overly inflate their ego and thinking that I've already mastered the art of teaching, which is an utter impossibility. No one can be perfect at something, but at the same time, not too critical in the sense that it completely demoralizes you to the point where, like, you know what, I can't do this anymore. I'm not hearing any of the good things that I'm doing. It's all bad, bad, bad. You know, a nice, healthy balance of both. And I think so far from what we've been doing has been perfect.
What about frequency? I know this, it's hard for me to compare my experience, because I was in full-time practicum. And for context for the listeners, Matt's only with me half day on Wednesdays, full days on Thursdays. So when I was in full-time practicum, I would have feedback sessions with my associate teacher pretty much every day after every class. And then towards the end of the practicum, he would just give me the keys and we would not even have feedback sessions unless something, you know, extreme came up. How often, for you, how often do you prefer to receive feedback? Do you think that's going to change as you go along? I don't want to overwhelm you with too much. So how much is that perfect amount, you think, for you?
No, absolutely. And I think we, to answer that question, we have to just look at like the frequency of how often I'm with you. So because It's like you said, the half day on Wednesday, the full day on Thursday. We're talking like a day, technically like a day and a half of the 5 day week, right? So, and I'm only there, you know, for about 8 to 10 weeks in total. So, given that our unit setup as of right now, the majority of the content that we're teaching, like the students, is pretty much in the first few weeks of like my placement there. Then anything after that's more like just work periods and on everything else that we've sort of discussed. Because like the amount of like I guess lessons that I'll be doing is so small, then after every single time, because these are the very first times that I'm doing it, feedback for me every single time is what I need. So I like that because again, it's always working towards getting better at something. And then in my next semester, which will be in September, is when I'm actually doing my student teaching practicum. So for there, I'm fully immersed. I'm there every single day in 7 weeks in one teachable, 7 weeks in the other, essentially back to back. And then at that point, I won't have any classes to like, you know, to take my time away. I'm fully dedicated to those weeks there. Maybe in that regard, if I'm out at Applebee or at another school, maybe like feedback a little bit less infrequently, because again, that's almost every day we're getting feedback. And by then I should be able to get into a groove, more experience into my pocket. And at that point I should be a little bit more confident, I would say, but because there's only a handful of lessons I'm required to do, and I think I've done like two so far, going on to three, maybe four. I think because there's only so many, that's what should be like every single time would be appropriate for that. And right. I personally, I believe that.
Another thing that hasn't come up, and I don't anticipate things going sideways when it comes to classroom management. I've been with these students for the last several months, and I'm sure you could figure out they're great kids.
Oh yeah.
But you know, sometimes these practicums, you don't get lucky with the schools, and you know, you get put into a classroom where, you know, things can go sideways. So for any future teachers that are going to be managing you down the road, how do you think you prefer to handle things like classroom management? Do you prefer if the student, the teacher kind of sits back and kids are talking and they're like, all right, well, this is your class, man, you're going to deal with this. Mm-hmm. Or do you prefer the associate teacher be like, all right, I'm going to step in here and try to make your life easy. Yeah. Which way are you leaning?
You know what? Honestly, I'm glad you asked that. And being that we're in such a fortunate position that we're at a good school that, you know, classroom management is almost at a minimal because we have very motivated students, I find. I mean, you know, and really, like I count my lucky stars for that, because I know there's a lot of students in my cohort, like they did not get anywhere near that kind of environment that I'm in right now. So I'm very thankful for that. In the event that, you know, we have a class that's, you know, like that they're rowdy, you know, they're not paying attention, they're this, that, the other thing, something that fortunately we don't have to deal with. My approach would be, let me handle that. Like, let me, like, you got to trial by fire. That's the best way you're going to learn. You got to get thrown right into the deep end of it. Because again, literally we're in January. By this time next year, I'll be a certified teacher, right? I'll be done. And then I'm on my own at that point, technically speaking. I'm sure I'm going to have the support of other teachers, but in that classroom, that's mine to own. I got to figure that out. And a little bit of intervention is not the worst thing. And like, if it gets carried away where like I've done multiple things, tried different things, and that's not working. And then and then my associate teacher says, okay, you know what? Yeah, it's not really working. Like, don't jump in so quickly, but like give it a few minutes. And if I'm trying different things, still not working, then that's when just, you know, throw the hammer down. Like you're in the corner there. You're like the trump card almost. If I have to use it, sort of thing like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Watch it. Yeah.
If you're drowning, I come and save you.
Absolutely.
And
then, you throw the life.
Other than that, just watch you drown and see if you can swim.
So what you're saying is that you're going to be my Superman if I'm the damsel in distress.
Exactly. I'll swoop in. But just FYI, I don't know how to swim. So that was a bad analogy.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah, I'm terrible in the water as well. It's all good, man.
I want to ask you about just in terms of pairing. So for any teacher education program that are listening to this and they make the pairings, I don't know how feasible this is, but do you think yourself and perhaps some of your peers have personal preferences in the associate teacher that they get paired with? And I know it's hard. Let me try to explain here.
Sure.
I know it's already hard enough to find an associate teacher willing to take you on in terms of your subject matter. So I know you can't really be too picky, but in a perfect world, do you think that student teachers have personal preferences in whether it's gender or ethnicity, experience. And the reason why I say this is because, you know, when you think about like family doctors or, you know, personal therapists, people have preferences, right? Like I want a female doctor because I'm more comfortable, blah, blah, blah. And my thinking is, you know, if you have a preference with a certain, you know, type of teacher, you know, perhaps you're a young person. So maybe you want a younger teacher. Maybe you want someone that has, you know, 10 years of experience rather than 2 years of experience. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. This is kind of just my thinking.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think people have preferences?
Absolutely. And I think like it goes back to what I said earlier in terms of like, you got to try to find the right connection with the person that you have or the person that you're paired with, shall I say. Because if you can relate to that person a lot, like that, a lot of that teaching philosophy, especially for any teacher, right? We have our own ideas, but they're molded by our associate teacher. You have the experience. And it's like, if we have that similar dynamic for how we want to run our class, like how we want to present ourselves, right? It makes that much more sense to have that, because again, you're not only going to make like that experience better for yourself, you're going to have someone you can rely upon later on. For full disclosure, I mean, like after whatever I'm done, Appleby, if I ever get picked up full time, who knows, right? Keeping you in my back pocket for something I need down the road, I absolutely will do that, because you're awesome. I love everything that you do, and I love that your philosophy on the side of things. So it's, you're looking for that connection piece that you can see yourself in that teacher, or like that's a kind of approach that you want to take. And the sad thing is, right, especially with COVID, it made it a lot more difficult to find placements, right? So fortunately, like one of my transferable skills from my career was cold calling. So, you know, the search to find Appleby as my placement, which normally is held, which is normally done by the schools anyway, but because of COVID and, you know, restrictions, they're on the other side of the border. They didn't have much communication with anyone on the Canadian side. It kind of left us a little bit high and dry, but with all things considered, and you know, it's completely understandable. But, you know, when in calling Appleby and finally getting that, you know, that call back and that saying, yeah, you know what, we'd love to take you on. And fortunately, like they sort of did their due diligence. They knew everybody knows everybody there. Like they knew exactly who to pair up who. And I lucked out that way. But in certain scenarios where you're letting the school set you up on their own, right? They don't know who that person is that's coming. And also we don't know who we're going to get paired up with. And they're equally as much, if you get that experience, like you said, right? You can have someone that's, you know, 20, 30 years into their career, probably getting close to retirement, but at the same time, their thinking of how education should be, it could be a little bit more old school. It's not modern. It's not incorporating technology. It could be, you know, how their approaches are very, you know, hot and cold, you know, like that. There's a lot of, if that makes any sense, like, you know, with their students and the relationships that they have, you know, so not having an idea for what you want in a teacher is kind of like a little bit of a hindrance for yourself. Right. So you have to know, it's like a vetting process, right? And you got to be completely open and honest. And, in one scenario, someone in my cohort actually said, like, I'm not a fan of the person I'm paired up with, like, and went to the school board and went to the school and said, like, you got to find me somebody else.
Wow.
Because I'm talking yin and yang, like complete opposite of where they are. Yeah. I won't mention names, but
of course,
you know, the person was like, yeah, this person was like close to retirement. They were so dejected from it, you know, like, yeah, they like this is how I learned best and sort of thing like that. Like, and it's unfortunately stuff like that happens, right? So like you have to have an idea for who you want to be paired up with. And again, it's that connection that you have with your own teacher. It's like anything, right? You know, teachers have the lasting impression.
Well, you actually got paired up in the first term with a colleague of mine, Mr. Hijab, in the math department.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that. I know it was more of an observation type of practicum. You weren't teaching, but you were with him for several weeks. What was your relationship like with him? What did you like about that relationship and how that, I guess, that observation turned out for you?
Yeah. No, honestly, like person to person, he was like, you know, what a great human being. And, really, the biggest thing that I took away from that, and I love the guy to death. And he's the first, he's the first teacher that took me on. He's the one that sort of opened up, you know, my whole eyes to what classroom was like. And, you know, on a person to person basis, like, you know, we had some great conversations about, you know, soccer. We're both big fans of soccer. We both, you know, We're both like, we like getting involved in extracurriculars, taking the time and getting to know our students. You know, he's a very personable guy, and you know, what really drew me to him was his approach and how he handled things. Because like my second teachable is math, so one of the things that I like to incorporate is especially that he did, because in reality, it actually lacked myself when I was in school. They took a balance of like the three approaches to learning. You have your visual learners, you have your, like, you know, your audio learners, and more hands-on approach, kinesthetic, because that's the technical term. And how he approached his lessons was very much, okay, I'm going to show you an example. This is how we do it. The next example, you're going to talk me through it. We're going to go step by step. And then for the next set of examples, you're going to go up on the boards and you're going to practice it yourself. So him doing that, just for me, like I was in shock. It's like, finally, someone that gets it. Because when I was in elementary school, even at the high school, it was all just, you know, like, yeah, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. Talk me through it. And then come practice time, it was always do it for homework. That's going to be your practice. But by the time you have your math class and you have different classes throughout the day, that's in and out of your head, like, you know, within a couple hours. So by the time you get home, and especially for me, I'll scratch my head like, how do I do this again? Right. So it's good to get that practice in class. And, you know, I told him that right from the get-go. I'm like, I love the fact that you're incorporating practice in the classroom. That's where the meat and bones is, right? That's what's lacking. And he said, absolutely. Like, you know, like that, cause, and you said the same thing, like by the time they start doing their homework, they're going to forget half the stuff that I tell them. Like, you can't just download it. You got to practice it. And, yeah, you know, and I absolutely love that. And you're right. It was more of like an observation, like placement for myself, but naturally, as you can tell, I'm a pretty outgoing guy. I love meeting new people. I love chatting, right? I like just like getting my hands dirty, and I got involved as I possibly can. The only downside is that the content that he was teaching was, I'm about 15 years removed. So yeah. That stuff was like Greek to me, but you know what? you make the best out of any situation. And
of course,
you know, he was, and again, very, very honest as well with how we had to handle things, like in terms of, you know, there's sometimes like a student was getting a little bit upset with some of the grades, and we were in AP math, so it's a little bit more of a higher demand there. You know, a few times a couple of the students were a little bit upset, and you know, I mean, for me, the you know, the caring individual and me, the more empathetic side, want to, you know, show more, a little bit more support. But you know, he had one way of handling things and I had the other. And I found like there was a little bit of a difference there in approaches, because again, we got to be there for our students. And then and also we got to support them in the sense that, you know, we're more than just our educator. We're there for, we're our confidants, we're the advisors, we're whatever term you want to give. But you know, on the whole, hearing that, you know, after our last class together, he said, like, honestly, you know, you got all the skills, you're personable, you're fun to be around, you're funny, you got everything there. You have all the basis to be a good teacher. And, you know, for someone that's been in the business for 20 years, 20 plus years, in multiple schools, different environments, for someone to say that, like, that's really something to hang your hat on. Because, you know, for me being there as a person, like more on the side, like, I don't, like, content is content. You know, I want to make a lasting impression on the students. I want to be more than just that teacher, right? It just, for me, it just shows that I'm in the right place. And
it goes to show you too, with, yeah. It goes to show you that, you know, giving positive comments like that, it's, you know, it's not just for kids, right? Like those positive comments are lasting comments that stay with you even when you're an adult, like someone like Mr. Hijab's position, you know, leaving those comments with you, you know, you're a grown man, but you're going to remember that, right? You're never going to forget
that.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right?
So that's one of my biggest takeaway from this conversation too, is, you know, a lot of just positive reinforcement a lot of time is just so powerful, and you remember those rather than some of the negative stuff. For so sure. I want to ask you about the observations, right? Because
yeah,
when I was in teachers college, and I don't know if this is true for Canadian schools, but we never had observation practicums. Like we just had two practicums. And I think now that's a 2-year program. I think they have 4. Do you find that the observations, I don't know, did they eventually just get boring? Where you're like, all right, I guess I've seen it all now. Like I'm with the same teacher day after day.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel like it would be more beneficial to like almost do like a speed dating thing where you're seeing different teachers every single day?
Yeah.
Rather than, again, this is not a knock on Mr. Hijab, but you know, just being in his classroom for 8 weeks, not teaching, but just seeing him. I don't know. Do you think there's more benefit with sticking with one teacher, or kind of more of a, you know, buffet style, you know, see who you want. Yeah,
you know, honestly, 100%. I think, and again, not a knock to Mr. Hijab whatsoever. Like, just I learned a whole wealth of stuff from him. But I think for the observation teaching, and I think this is more for something to Niagara to consider, is that in the observation, you want to see multiple teaching strategies, multiple people, which is hard because, again, you're, like, you know, you're bouncing around between different teachers and, you know, you're playing on the lines of like whether they are, whether or not they actually want like a, like an up someone observing them or being a part of their class, like for however long. But for someone that has not done this before, you want to give them as much experience as possible. I think it would make sense, like just to sort of get, if you're observing, you want to see multiple people because you're going to see different strategies, you're going to get different things. And it's not to say you don't want to get molded in a certain way, but you also want to get as much experience so you can sort of pick and choose, because again, that's where you find yourself. And even though, let's say if there's one thing that you saw one teacher that you're not particularly fond about, but that doesn't mean it's not an effective strategy. It just means that you would like to approach things in a different sense, right? So I mean, admittedly, there were times where I was a bit antsy. Like I wanted to get that experience, be like, and you know, like, hey, let me try and teach a lesson. But I guess where Niagara's a bit hesitant on that, because again, they want you to have a nice healthy balance of like being in the classroom and then finding a little bit of like time to like lesson plan. And even amongst the, like the school, the course load that that I have right now, it's astronomical. Like, you know, my days start early and they end very late in a nutshell. But you know, I think at the beginning they kind of just want you to get the sense of balancing that time, seeing what it's like. They're taking a very like a babyish approach to this, and you know, there were some people in my cohort as well. They've been on supply lists in the New York State for many years, and they had to go through this as well, right? So they literally have to say, okay, well, for these 75 hours, right, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to watch somebody else, right? It's quite interesting in that sense to approach it that way. But you know, veering back to the question you asked, it's you know what, sticking with one person is good. You're going to get a lot of experience, but you know, but the most effective way, in my opinion, you got to see as many people as possible.
Matt, I'm looking at the time right now. I think we are running out. So I got two questions to wrap up this episode.
No problem.
Question number one, what do you want out of your experience in the next couple of months with me?
That's a good question. And honestly, I want to have fun. I want to see what everything is like, and I want to get like throw me into the fire. Let me figure this out. Let me see what works and what doesn't work. It's a brand new experience, and because I don't know too much about what the days look like as a teacher. For me, and you ask anybody, like it's you know, you think teaching is just in one way, shape, or form. Like all you think about is, okay, how do I give the lessons to the students? How do I get them engaged? Right. Looking at the process of planning the lesson, dealing with classroom management, students one-on-one, different schedules, parents, you know, creating tests and assignments, right? There's a whole other world outside of that a part of me, like, I do want to see that. I want to see what it's like to create a test based on content. I want to see how you structure assignments, like just seeing how like the full workload, the full job description of a teacher is done, like, you know, because again, it's not just one specific area. And so far we've been doing that, right? Like you've taken the keys, here you go, Matt, you know, figure it out. Like I got you, you know, whatever you need, shape or form, it's sort of been perfect.
Final thing, one word, most important trait or quality in an associate teacher is blank.
Approachability, right? Being able to go, like you're not afraid of your associate teacher. Like they're not there as like a watchdog. You know what I mean? Like they're there to help you. And you're always involved, just someone you can approach and not afraid to tell like it is when it needs to be, but also there to confide in. Like, you know, again, everyone goes through stuff. We're all people as well. And, you know, and in some cases, and I think like I told you, there's a few times where I was going through the lessons and, you know, and then I was getting worried. I'm like, oh, I have all this coursework. I got this, that. And you're like, Matt, it's all good. Like, you know, I'm here for, if you need it, you let me know what you need to do. If you want to like jump to the next lesson, no problem. Give yourself more time. Do that. Like it's all about you. Like, and when you make it about them and you realize that, hey, I got your back, we're going to do this together, that's what it should be about. Right. Cause again, yeah, as much as you can throw the person into the water and hope they swim, you know, you're going to struggle a little bit. That's why you need that little, those a couple helping hands there. And Like, you know, but the approachability to know that, hey, you can still come to that person for whatever, what it is, the good and the bad, the ugly. As long as that's there for me, that's what we look for.
Well, Matt, I think that's all the time we have today. So thank you so much for joining on today's podcast. I apologize for making you work overtime today with me. You will not get paid for this. This is not extra credit.
It's too bad. It's okay. I bill hours anyway. So look out,
Nemo. Hopefully this counts as an assignment or something for you. Maybe you can submit this for a project. You could take credit for that.
Oh. I'll find something. I got the email, so I'll be fighting for that.
Tell them to check out the teacher hotline.
Absolutely.
Well, Matt, thank you so much. I really appreciate you chatting with me today. And I know the students are a big fan of you. And keep doing what you're doing, because you're going to be an amazing full-time teacher once you're done your program.
Thank you. Honestly, love being on the podcast. This is definitely a new experience for me as well, being on it. No, literally in the whole world, you might hear my voice here. But
you're going to be famous after this, man.
I hope so.
Turn you into a celebrity. Well, thank you so much. We'll see you on Wednesday. And for the rest of you folks out there listening to us, thank you so much for joining into this week's episode of the Teacher Hotline. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to follow us on Apple, Spotify, Google, you name it. Any streaming platform, we are there. And of course, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you all next week.